welcome everybody, and thank you all for listening to the very first episode of the Know It All podcast. My name is TJ, and I do happen to be the guy that knows it all. With this being the very first episode, what I'm going to do is kind of go through what I'd like to have on every podcast, what I'd like to do, and pretty much introduce myself and run through what I've done to prepare for this as if it were like a really serious, real podcast. But it kind of is because you're listening to it and I'm sitting here doing it. So it is kind of real. It is kind of a real podcast as of right now. So, basically introducing myself, I am 25. I'm a musician. I live in New York for right now. As a musician, I love to play music. I love to listen to music. I love to go see music, live music. If there's anything that you can do with music, I've done it. I'd like to do it, and I will continue to do it for the rest of my life. I have done studio work for people. I'm on a couple of CDs for people. I have helped people edit CDs. I have I've edited for people. I have played quite a few shows. I've played with big name people. Music is just what I do. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I think it'll always be probably one of the biggest factors in my life. Sports is another thing that I love. I just love sports. I've always grown up around sports. When I was a little kid, I played t-ball and soccer. And then, you know, I grew up. My dad kind of put the love of baseball in me when I was a little kid. And I remember watching the Braves when they were in their glory days, man, when they won. They won a couple World Series right there in the early to mid-90s. Chipper Jones, Javi Lopez, Andrew Jones was there. Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, Rocker was there. Rocker was there in the early 2000s, though, late 90s, early 2000s, I believe. Just you put the love of baseball in me. And it's always been there. I love baseball. Let's see, I swam for a while till I busted up my shoulder pretty bad. I played volleyball in high school. I was the captain of the volleyball team in high school. I marched my junior and senior year in high school. And a lot of people will tell you that marching band is not a sport, but I promise you, you can't last through band camp. And people will tell you that band camp's a joke, all because of the American Pie movie. But I know football players that can't last through band camp, and I promise you. I've seen people pass out. I've seen people puke. I've seen big guys that cannot last through band camp. So say what you will, but unless you've got it, unless you've got the deep drive, man, you can't do it. So my love of sports. I love to talk shit about sports. I think I know more than most broadcasters do. Between the months of late September, early October, until June, it's best to stay away from me when there's a TV on, because there's not really a debate about the channels it's going to be on. We're going to watch hockey, and I'm not going to be quiet. I'm an Anaheim Ducks fan, and fans putting it lightly. I'm a diehard fan. I'm not quiet during games. I yell very loudly. I've only been to one Ducks game, though, and it was a Ducks-Capitals game. It was my friend's 21st birthday. We got hammered, and I was the only Ducks fan in Verizon Center. And the Ducks were up at every intermission, and I went out, and I almost got in a fight at every intermission. And my girlfriend, or my ex-girlfriend, whatever, kept telling me, like, TJ, don't do this, don't blah, blah, blah. And Alexander Semin scored with, I think, 30 seconds, not even, and into the first overtime. It was bad because I got, excuse me, there were a lot of people in my face as we were leaving, and I didn't have a lot to say. Basketball, I can kind of take or leave. I know a lot about it. It's not that I don't know anything about it. I just, basketball's basketball, man. College basketball, I dig. I know a lot about college basketball. I like to watch it. My March Madness brackets are generally pretty good. Once VCU started getting in the mix, which is I went to school right around there for the semester that I went to college. Quite a few of my buddies went to school around there. Actually was at a party with Justin Verlander, the pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. Played a couple games of beer pong with him and his brother. If anybody from the VCU area is listening, that happened. Dylan Waldron, I'm talking to you. You were there. It was a cool time, man. Right off of Broad Street. And so, football, coming down to it. It's, I believe yesterday was the very last Monday without football until February. So, depending on when you're listening to this and how motivated I am, and this being my first podcast, I'll probably have it up in an hour. But, and I know everybody's excited and on pins and needles for this to come out. But, no, I think this will be out probably up Friday or so. But, like I said, Monday was the last Monday we'll have without football. This Sunday, I think, or this weekend, the Hall of Fame game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins happens at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, which is where I know Warren Sapp is getting his gold blazer. I'm not sure how many other people are, but I know Warren Sapp's getting a blazer. So that's really all I have for football news right now. Aaron Hernandez still is probably going to jail, so if you're surprised, you know, tweet me, email me, Facebook me, whatever. I do have some Ray Lewis news, kind of, but I'll bring that up in a little bit. Fantasy football. I have a draft in a month from tomorrow. Friday the 31st, I have my second fantasy football draft because I decided to do a couple more this year. I've got one more this year. I've got my second draft the 31st. And for some reason, I joined a draft with a couple buddies of mine, and we drafted in June. Like, the first weekend in June. So, my drafts are going to end up being 3 months apart. And I can't believe we drafted the first month of June. Like, that was stupid. But, we'll see how that works out. So, yeah, that's pretty much everything. Or all the major sports, unless you really want to know about the Tour de France. In which case, I can't really help you. Lance Armstrong didn't win because he's banned for life because he used steroids, which, you know. That's all I got about anything that's not really a major sport. So, coming back to the steroids, though. Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing about football. Anybody who's a Dave Dameshek fan already knows this. But he did NFL.com, I should say, did this greatest uniforms in NFL history. And the voting's been going on since the beginning of July. Maybe the end of June, or the beginning of July. But fans have been voting. NFL fans have been voting since the beginning of June. The beginning of June about the greatest uniform in NFL history. And, I mean, they had the Raider Nation, the black and silver, and then they had San Francisco 49ers with the stripe down the side, the red and white stripe, and then they had the Chargers with the powder blue. That was one of them. The creamsicle, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the creamsicle, the Houston Texans with the all red. There's quite a few, and you can see them on NFLnetwork.com. But the winner out of all of these uniforms, and all seven of us can stand up and be proud, but the Carolina Panthers uniforms, all seven fans can stand up, man, because we finally won something. So the greatest uniforms in NFL history, I'd just like to repeat this in case anyone missed it. The greatest uniforms, that's right, in NFL history, that tag belongs to the Carolina Panthers. But the cool thing about it is they're actually going to get a banner to hang in Bank of America Stadium that says the greatest uniforms in NFL history. So I think that's kind of cool that the NFLnetwork.com did that. I'm sure nobody else does because no, there's really not anybody else that's a huge, huge Panthers fan. Steph Curry is. I heard an interview with Steph Curry about it. He actually went to Charlotte Latin. I know a few people that went to Charlotte Latin School. My dad knows quite a few people that went to Charlotte Latin School. My uncle was recruited to play football there, I just found out. And that was in the late 70s, I believe, early 80s. But that was a big deal in Charlotte. So if I have any listeners or listener in Charlotte, I hear that was a big deal. So I think that's pretty cool, man. So yeah, that's all my football news. But again, if anybody has any fantasy football advice, information you guys want to throw at me, any tight ends I shouldn't draft, Aaron Hernandez, I was thinking about picking him up probably second round. So if you guys have any advice, let me know. Now on to general stuff that I have. I guess baseball news, we can count this. I was reading somewhere today, and this was probably with the Ryan Braun stuff I was looking at, but an article came up, and this is a January 29th article, but they said, and it was linked to the Biogenics, that's where I found it, linked to the Biogenics was Alexander Rodriguez, Bartolo Colon, Melky Cabrera, and like three other guys, Yasmani Grande, Nelson Cruz, and Gio Gonzalez, and that's all they printed in the article. I'm sure there's 1,000 more guys that were linked, but all these guys were linked to Biogenics back in January. That's before they had to pass physicals to play, before spring training started, all of that. Now, Biogenics is in Florida, in Miami, I believe, and like I said, all these guys were linked to Biogenics, now Ryan Braun is, and all that. Now, the second part of this, which completely isn't surprising, which was also mentioned in this article, by the way, Ray Lewis got his IGF-1, the deer antler spray. He got this in Florida, in Miami. And they're not linking it to Biogenics because they never named Biogenics when this happened in, God, I guess November when all that happened, November, December when he was out, and because I know he came back against Indianapolis, which was, maybe that was like December. So maybe he came back in like December, January. Okay, but all that was linked down in Florida, all that happened in the same place, and that cannot be a coincidence. And then, you know, you see articles on ESPN and all that that say, I mean, you see quotes of Ray Lewis all the time and say, I have never taken a steroid in my life. There's no reason for me to have taken, you know, steroids. I've never even been tested for performance, or I've been tested for performance enhancing drugs, but I've passed the flying colors. Okay, that makes perfect sense because the only way to test this stuff, the IGF-1, is through a blood test. They've said the only way to detect this stuff is through a blood test, and that's not required and not done in the NFL. So, Ray Lewis still could have gotten past this stuff. And again, who am I to accuse Ray Lewis, right? I'm sure there's things in my system that I wouldn't like to talk about. But, come on, man. Like, you got over, and I don't even remember what he got hurt with. And I'm sure that's probably something I should have looked up before I came on the airwaves with all that, the pod waves. But really, I mean, and I'm not blaming Ray Lewis. Like I said, who am I? But I just think that it's a little bit sketchy. And, you know, he's never submitted a blood test or anything. Actually, I saw somebody. This is not me. I saw somebody else say this. But somebody else put up a thing and said, I'm sure there's a white suit somewhere where they can find plenty of blood samples. So, you know, that's funny. Irony, whatever. But, whatever. So, you know, back to the Ryan Braun and all that. I did see that with this round of the performance enhancing drugs and this version of the steroid scandal, Sammy Sosa part 2 and Mark McGwire part 2, and I know this isn't part 2, you know, you've got Babe Ruth and there was a pitcher for the Cardinals that was linked to steroids like 100 years ago, man. I cannot think of this guy's name. I saw this today too. I really should have written this stuff down. But he used some kind of monkey blood or whatever. But it's not important. The players are really, instead of siding with Ryan Braun and protecting their own, they're not tolerating what he's doing. They're saying that no, like performance enhancing drugs, it's wrong. They're trying to maintain the purity of the sport. And they don't want to play with somebody that's going to cheat because not everybody's going to cheat. And you look at guys like Ryan Braun that are doing this. And, you know, Yasiel Puig that have exploded out of nowhere. And of course, as soon as this happens, yes, he's good. Yes, if you've seen the guy play, you understand. He can hit. He's a monster in the outfield. Like, everybody wants this guy on their team. The Dodgers are beautiful this year. They're a good-looking team. However, as soon as that happens, the question gets raised. Well, what's he on? What's he taking? And, you know, yeah, he's been in the league for 3 months. And I was even talking shit a little while ago because for the sole fact that I wanted Freddie Freeman in the All-Star game, not Yasiel Puig. But that's because I'm a Braves fan, man. And I'm allowed to be biased. And I'm allowed to talk my shit. But, you know, I honestly hope that Yasiel Puig is not on anything. Because I would love for there to be a pure, good, not even good, great baseball player that's not on anything. Pure talent, man. I would love for this guy to be as good as it sounds. Or, you know, I'd love for him to be too good to be true. I'd love for this guy to be the real thing. It would be awesome. I don't want him to end up being on something. It's not fair for him. It's not fair for baseball. We all got over, I guess it was Mark McGwire or Sammy Sosa. It was one of those two that was doing corking their bats, and then Barry Bonds. You know, he went from playing with the A's, and he was all small, or the Athletics, you know. He was small, and then he went to the Giants. And no pun intended, but the guy got giant. He was huge. I mean, he swelled up overnight. That guy was insane. You know, it was just nuts. Steroids, I don't think... And, you know, again, to quote one of the players, they said that there should not be a three-strike policy. It should be the first strike. As soon as you get caught with or being connected to performance-enhancing drugs, man, you're out. Banned for life. You know, you're done. And Ryan Braun is out for the rest of the season. No pay. And, you know, I think if they're going to institute a three-strike policy, the first strike should be, you know, you're banned, or not you're banned, excuse me, you get no pay, but you have to play. You're forced to play. All these guys talk about, you know, I play for the love of the game, but I get $23 million a year in salary. Okay, so you play, you mean to tell me you play 6 months out of the year, you know, you go up, you swing the bat 10 times a game, 12 times a game maybe, and I'll round it off, I'll say 20. And you know, it's not easy standing in there, gets a 100 mile an hour fastball, I understand that. I probably couldn't hit 60. But to make it fair, you know, I think it's fair. You stay healthy, you play ball for the love of the game, right? So you play for no pay. That's the love of the game. You play for no pay for at least a season, and you go one to two to maybe three seasons, depending on how big the transgression is. But you go from one to two to three seasons with no pay, and you have to fulfill your contract. Otherwise, you owe the club money. And I think that's fair. You know, that way you're not just sitting out, you're not just rotting, and the club doesn't owe you money. No. If you don't fulfill your obligation to the club, then you're out. A, you're banned from baseball, and B, you're not getting paid. Because Ryan Braun sitting on the bench, now they have to find somebody to replace him. I mean, I don't even think it's fair that he doesn't get paid. That's absolutely fair. You're not going to get paid for using steroids. But B, they shouldn't have to pay more money to find somebody to replace you. And again, because they asked me. So, you know, whatever. Derek Jeter, I'm sure, you know, moving on, I apologize. Derek Jeter, I don't know how many people saw that he homered. He pulled a Bryce Harper. He hit a home run on his first pitch the other night. I guess that was Sunday night. Who did they play? The Mariners? Let's see. Yeah, the Mariners. He went 2-for-4. And they beat the Mariners 6-5 on Sunday night. So that was, I mean, freaking Jeter, man. And I saw earlier today, they're working on making a Derek Jeter movie. So I'm not sure what that's all about. Honestly, baseball movies don't really do it for me. There are two baseball movies that I'm a huge fan of, and other than that, basketball doesn't count though. Basketball is a great, awesome, terrible movie. But there are two baseball movies that, and actually, I've seen both of them with my dad, and they're both great movies. Oh my God, I can't think of what it's called. If You Build It, He Will Come. Come on, man. Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner. And James Earl Jones as Terrence Mann. That movie is phenomenal. And actually, someone recently bought those fields, where that baseball field is, because it actually is in Iowa. That baseball field, I believe, is really in Iowa. Somebody bought that land, and they're putting up Little League baseball fields out there. So that's really cool, I think. I think that's pretty cool. Excuse me. There's Field of Dreams, and this movie I saw not recently, but not that long ago. My dad and I watched it. It's called Trouble with the Curve. And it has to do with the Braves, and this guy, what's his name? God, of course I can't remember it because I'm recording. Either way, Trouble with the Curve, it's a great movie. It's about baseball, Clint Eastwood. How can I not remember that? Clint Eastwood, he is a scouting director for the Atlanta Braves, and his daughter's name is Mickey, and they go out, and she comes to help him because he's getting really old, and they go out, Justin Timberlake's in this movie, but they go out, and she's helping him scout these players, and she's actually amazing. The girl that plays his daughter is the girlfriend in The Fighter. She's Marky Mark's girlfriend in The Fighter. And she's kind of cute, man. Good movie. I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep going on and on about it, but it's a good movie. And when I was looking up all the stuff about Jeter, I came across the Yankees standings and stuff, the baseball standings. And I looked at it, and the Yankees were 7.5 games back. And I always end up looking at these, you know, middle of July, early August, and I think to myself, how in the hell do you make up being 8 games back? But then I got curious and looked at all these, you know, second to last and last place teams. That's actually the best second to last place team. In the AL West, the Houston Astros are 27 games back. I don't know why, I don't know why you would even keep playing baseball. 27 games. I don't know why you don't call up your guys from the farm team, the AAA club, and say, "Hey guys, this is where you get your face time. It's about time for you guys to get some experience and understand what Major League ball is all about." I mean, 27. That's 30 games they have to win. That's just embarrassing. And in the Central, man. The White Sox, I'm 25. I don't ever remember the White Sox being a competitive team. And at 25, I remember the Cubs being good. They were good with Kerry Wood. If anybody remembers Kerry Wood as a pitcher, and Sosa, that's when Sammy Sosa was there, man. Other than that, I don't at all remember the Cubs being a productive team. But the White Sox, I don't remember the White Sox really putting together a good team. And in the East, and this team, I feel the same way about these guys. But in the East, the Florida Marlins are 20 games back. And if you ask me, that's cool because I'm a Braves fan. So they can be cellar dwellers all they want. But they've always been that team as well. I've never really known the Marlins to be a good team. And I'll never, ever, ever call them the Miami Marlins. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever, ever heard of in my life. They moved across the street, got a brand new building, like... The Florida Marlins, I think they had a much better name and much better team and organization as the Florida Marlins. But once again, since they asked me before they moved across the street, so, you know. And in the Central, the Brewers. The Brewers are like 20 games back. I guess I didn't write down the West. I guess that means the West isn't really that bad. So who's in the NL West? The Dodgers? Who is the NL West? The Dodgers? Oh my god, I can't sit here and like talk about this. It's going to be terrible, terrible stuff. And the Braves got the new left-handed pitcher from the Angels, Scott Downs. That's all my baseball. I can't sit here and talk about this forever. Like I said, 64 days until the Ducks season opener. Against the Colorado Avalanche. And I'm not sure, actually. And I should have looked this up, man. I think Jagr still plays for the Avalanche. So if they play in Anaheim, which, again, I should have looked this up. But if they play in Anaheim, I wonder if Jagr will be on hand to see his jersey get retired. And that would be so cool. I think that would be the coolest thing ever. Because John Sebastian Jaguar, in my eyes, one of the greatest goalies of all time. And, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, Marty Brodeur is good. Well, good. Say Marty Brodeur is amazing. And, you know, see, I like Semyon Varlamov, too. And a lot of people don't give him a lot of love. Cam Ward. Cam Ward's good. But there's so many great goalies. And the guys like... Excuse me. The guys like Jaguar get overlooked. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people remember what he did for the Ducks. Took us through the playoffs. He had like a 4-game shutout. I'm sorry. Once again, I can't... I'm going to ramble and rant on things like this. So, we're at about 45 minutes now. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Like I said earlier, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the very first episode of the Know It All podcast. Thank you to Stephen James for helping me out and kind of pointing me in the right direction on stuff. Thank you to the girls at the Big Bang Buzzcast for kind of telling me what I need to do and helping me out. Kevin Smith, he's been a real inspiration and explained a lot. And just everybody that podcasts and talks about what you got to do and how easy these things are, because they're not hard. It's just kind of like everything else, man. It's not hard. You just got to want it. And you got to want to figure out what you got to do, because the information's out there. And if anybody wants to do a podcast and doesn't know how, I don't mind helping anybody out. I'm kind of learning myself. And like I said, if you need help, I don't mind helping you. But there's a lot more people that know better than I do. But thanks again for listening, and
hopefully I will catch you next week.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun, and the bonnie boat was won as we sailed into the mystic. Now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea, feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And when that foghorn blows, coming home. And when that foghorn blows,